The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The subject for this evening is the breakdown of the home, its sources, and its roots. Today we live in a period which is very historical in many ways, and there are a great many ills which are plaguing society, and one of these ills is the breakdown of the home, the family life, parents, children, and all of the ramifications that come from this. And this perhaps is not only one of the ills, but this could be a source for a good many other ills which are plaguing society. And therefore it's a topic which we should give some thought to and see what the Torah HaKadosha has to instruct us on in this subject. We'll dwell on a parsha which is brought in Kisetse. In Kisetse, Dvorim Chof Aleph Posuk Yud Ches, the Torah tells us, Ki Yeh Le'ish Bein Seira Seira Emere. If a person will have a son, Usorer, he turns away from the proper path, Umere, and he's a rebellious son, Einenu Shemeh Bekol Oviv Uvekol Imei, and he does not listen to the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, of Yisroi Soi, and they punish him, they discipline him, v'lo yishma aleihem, and he does not listen to them. Sof suvei aviv imay, his father and mother shall take him, v'yitzio yisrael ziknei irei v'ashar mekeimai, and they shall bring him to the elders of the city, and to the gates, in other words, to the courts, to the Sanhedrin, v'omru el ziknei irei, and they should say to the elders, b'neinu zeh seira umeira, our son is a son who has turned away from the proper path. He's a rebellious son. Einenu shemeh bekeilenu. He does not listen to our voice. Zolel v'seve. He's a glutton. He drinks. He's a glutton and he drinks. Ugormuhu kol anshei irei v'avonim v'meis. So the law is that he must be stoned by the people of the city. He's killed. Uvi'ato oromi kirbecho. And this evil should be destroyed from within you. V'chol Yisrael yishmu uviyiro'u, and everyone, all of Israel, should hear and should see this, in order that they should learn from this. The Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin studies this parsha at length in Perek Ben Seiru Meiri. The Gemara brings, the Mishnah brings, that the Ben Seder Meire is speaking about a son, a young son, when he's 13 years old, and he's gone off Mishal Oviv, the Ochal, and he steals from his father, and he eats. And the Mishnah also brings, his chay misha echal tatima bosa v'yishte chatzil loig yayin. He must eat a great amount of meat and drink a great amount of wine. And there are many, and then the Rishna also tells us, the Mishnah states, and I nala from at base, why is he put to death? Because the Torah foresees what will come from this. Not for what he has done now. He has not performed such a serious crime yet. But the Torah foresees what will come from him. Because Seifei melasti masabrias. Eventually he'll squander his money and he'll go and become a hodla person, a bandit, and he'll kill. So therefore the Torah said, Yomus Zakai Val Yomus Chayev. It's better that he should die when he's still innocent than die when he's guilty. Shemisosin Shorishoim Hanolahen Vahanola Elam. The Tzadikim Ralahen Varala Elam. Death for the evil people is a benefit to them because it stops them from doing Averis, and it's a benefit from to the world because the world does not have to suffer from them. The Tzadikim, death to the righteous, that's Ralahen. That's bad for them because it stops them from doing their mitzvahs and studying their Torah. V'ra'la Elam, and it's also bad for the world because the world will lose their shkuyis, their merits and their teachings of the Torah. Then the Gemara goes into many, many conditions that must be complied with before we qualify. One would qualify for a description of the Ben Seder Meiri. The Gemara brings and Afayin Aleph. The Gemara says, "Bechimit nei shoach hazeh tatim arbosu v'shoseh hatzila giyainu al talki ovi bima meitzina isay v'soklei." Just because he has eaten meat and he's drunk wine, therefore he should be put to death. According to one opinion of the Gemara, the Ben Seder Meire in reality never existed, because there are too many conditions that have to be fulfilled, and these conditions will never be fulfilled. Why did the Torah write this? In order that we can study it and expound it and learn from it and receive reward for studying it. This is one opinion in the Gemara. This is Reb Shimon. Reb Yenison said, "Aniri Isif, v'yashavti al kivrei." Reb Yenison said, "No, there have been bnei seder meire." So it's a machlekes in the Gemara if, in reality, there'll be such a person. But at any rate, the Torah tells us this, teaches this, and it's a mitzvah for us to study this and see what we can learn from it. Now, generally speaking, what would we learn from such a case in the Torah? Now, we're speaking here about the classical juvenile delinquent. He's a person who becomes a glutton, and he becomes a drunkard, and he rebels against his parents, does not listen to his parents, and eventually he'll become a gangster. So we're speaking here of the classical juvenile delinquent, and the Torah tells us that we have to deal with this person b'cheskes yad, with a strong hand. We must hammer him, right? We must throw the book at him. This is what it would seem that we should learn from this parsha. The truth of the matter is, that's only half the story, okay? That's only half the story. That's not the complete story. And we're coming in the middle of the story. In this parsha's Kisetze, there are actually four subjects dealt with one after the other. And Rashi tells us that they all are related and intertwined one to the other. First parsha is the parsha of Yifas Toar. Kisetze la milchoma alevecho. That when you go to war against your enemies, Unasana Hashem Elokecha b'yotecho, you will be victorious v'shavisa shivya, and you will take captives v'ra'isa b'shivya eshes b'shivya eshes shifas to'ar, and you will see amongst the captives a very beautiful woman v'choshaktovo, and you shall desire her v'lokachta l'chol isha, you may take her as a wife. And then the Torah tells us what you have to do with her. This is the first parsha, the first subject. The very next subject is the subject of inheritance. Kisiana li'ish tei noshim. A man has two wives. Ha'achas ahuva ve'achas nua. One he loves, and the other he hates. V'yoldele vonim ha'ahuva ve'has nua. And they give him children, the beloved one and the hated one. Ha'ya bena b'chol asni'o. And as it happens, the firstborn belongs to the hated one. And the Torah tells us that the hated one, you have to give more inheritance, a double portion, than the others. the son of the hated of the Bechor, the Torah tells us the firstborn you must give double double portion than the others. And this man is not too happy with that, because the firstborn is the son of the wife which he dislikes. So he has in mind that he'll, in the inheritance, he'll give the greater portion to the other son. Torah says, no. Torah says you cannot do that. You cannot change the Seder Hanachla, the order of inheritance. It must go to the firstborn regardless who he is. So that's the second subject that's dealt with here. Third subject is the subject of Kiyah Ish Bein Seder Omeira, the subject of the rebellious son. And the fourth subject is Kiyah V'ish Chet Mishpat Moves V'Humos. If a person is guilty of a crime which carries a capital punishment, in other words, he committed a very serious crime, he murdered someone, for example, he carries a capital punishment, v'humos, and he's put to death by the courts, v'soliso yishal al eitz, and they hang him, v'soli nivlosi al eitz, ki kovesik berena be'emahu, ki kilel selekim tolu. You should not leave him hanging more than the day, but that day you must bury him, otherwise it's a disgrace to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the fourth subject. Now, what do all of these subjects have in common? Why does the Torah write them one after the other, one next to each other? And how are they related to each other? Rashi tells us that the Torah gave you permission to marry this captive. But you should know that no good will come from it. If you do take this captive, safely yes, so na. Eventually you will hate her. And that's the second subject. You will end up with having two wives. Your first wife and this captive. One that you love and this one that you hate. And that's why Lekach Nismacho Parashuzelu. That's why the Torah writes these two right after each other. And what's the third parasha? And from here will come a son that will be hated. Will be a son of Ben Seder Meire, a rebellious son. A son that's Eina Shemeya Bekolovivi Kolimei, that will not listen to his parents, that will go off the proper road and so forth. That's why the Torah writes the third parasha. And from there will come the fourth parsha of Chiyah Ish Chet Mishpat Moves. That if there's a man who's guilty of capital punishment, this will be the son that you have brought up. He will turn to become a gangster, a murderer, and eventually he'll have to be put to death. So the Torah tells us how we should do it, and we should not dishonor him by letting his body hang overnight. So therefore, first you have the parasha of the Yefas To'ar, of the captive. Then you have the subject of the two wives, one is a beloved and one is a hated. Then you have the subject of the Ben Seder Humeira who's born from this union. And then you have the subject of the gangster, the murderer, who has to be put to death. And therefore the Torah writes all of these one after the other. Therefore, if we want to study this parasha, to try to find out what are the causes and what are the solutions to the juvenile delinquent that we're dealing with here, we must start from the beginning of the story and not in the middle of the story. So let's study for a few minutes the parasha of Yefas To'ar, of the captive. States, V'ra'isa b'shivya eshish yefas to'ar. He saw amongst the captives a beautiful woman. V'choshaktovo, and he desired her. V'kachta l'chole isha. He takes her for a wife. Excuse me. And the Torah tells us, she was a beautiful woman, and he desired her. Why did he desire her? Because to him she was beautiful. Otherwise, the Torah doesn't have to say she's a Yafas Torah, she's beautiful. So we see here that his desire for her was basically at the physical level. He saw a captive, she was very beautiful, and therefore he desired her. His motivation for this woman is because she was physically beautiful, and he desired her at the physical level. Then Rashi goes one step further. Why did the Torah permit you to take her? Speaking about a non-Jewish woman. Now the Gemara says, the Gemara goes into this at great depth. In Maseches Kedushin, how can you take her? According to one opinion, first you must be Megayah her, you must convert her. But this is something which is a chidush, something which is unusual, because she's not necessarily willing to become a geyoris, a convert, but still the Torah here gave you permission. Why did the Torah permit you though? Leidibra Torah elekeneged Yetzer Shimena Kodesh Baruch Hu Matira Yise'enu Bi'Isur. The Torah here is taking into consideration the human weaknesses of man, the human drives of man, which is in man through his Yetzer Hara. The Torah saw that if we will not permit him to take this woman, beheter, in a permissible manner, then he will take her in a forbidden manner. So here we see just how great the cheshek, how great the desire is. Because what the Chazal is telling us, that if the Torah would forbid this union, still he would take her. His desire for her is at the physical level, and it's so great that even at the level of the seichel, even though intellectually or spiritually it's deemed that it's wrong for him, he'll still take her. This is what Rashi tells us from the Gemara, that if the Torah would forbid her, seifeli sabiyisa, still he'll take her. So we see here the great motivation that he has for her at the physical level. It's not at the spiritual level, it's not at the intellectual level, because if it would be forbidden at that level, he would still do it. So this is Yafas Torah. Now, from this union, from this marriage, will come hatred. Kiyeh le'ish. Kisiyenu le'ish. A man has shtei noshim, two wives. So achas ahuva v'achas snua. One is beloved and the other is hated. And this is the hated one. And this is Rashi says, Aval imnoso, the Torah didn't tell you to marry her, the Torah only permitted you. But if you will, safely yeshnua, she will become a hated woman to you. Now why? From here the Torah is teaching us a great principle. The principle of aval, the principle of love between two people, or between a man and a woman in particular, that's built on the principle of achdus, of uniting two people to become one. Two people are united to become one when they can cleave together with dovak, the ishtay, when they can cleave together completely at all levels, at the physical level, at the emotional level, at the intellectual level, at the spiritual level, beguf, benefesh, ubeseichel. When there is such a alliance, such a union, then you have an ava love which is shleima, which is complete. But if you have an alliance which is merely at one level, merely at the physical level, but they are not united b'nefesh u'b'seichel u'b'neshama, they are not united at other levels emotionally or intellectually or spiritually, then this is a very weak union. It's a very weak is Achtus. And it's safely bottled. And it will eventually deteriorate and destroy itself. And when it does, the Ava will be transferred into Sina. The love will be exchanged for hatred. And so therefore the Torah tells us that V'ro'i Isha, why did you become attracted to this woman? Because you saw. You saw her physically. You fast her. Physical beauty. V'choshaktubo. Your whole motivation for this woman was not because her emotions, not because of her spirit, not because of her intellect. It was merely at the physical level. So great is that even if the Torah would forbid her, you would still go after her. So this is not a union. This is a very, very weak dveikus. And it will eventually deteriorate and destroy itself. And when it does, you're going to have a man that has a wife that's a snur, that's hated. From here, from this we learn, this point, we learn that when a man chooses a wife, or a wife chooses a husband, they must look for someone that they can unite themselves with totally. At the physical level, and at the emotional level, and at the intellectual level, and at the spiritual level. And the more that they can unite themselves together, so the greater the union and the greater the dveikus will be. Torah says, v'dovak b'ishta. And then the greater and the purer the ava, the love will be. And it will not become destroyed. Therefore, when a person is looking for a shidduch, he must look for someone of this sort. They must be physically attractive because he has to unite himself or herself with her mate physically also. But it must not end there. And they must inspect the midas, the character of the person, the emotions of the person, the milas, all of the higher levels of the person, the spirit of the person. And if they find attraction at all of these levels, then it's something to pursue. What's very important is that values should be common. What's chashuv, what's important to one, must be important to the other. Because if what's important in his eyes is insignificant in hers, or vice versa, so then in values they do not come together. They drift apart. They drift apart, then we're coming close to the problem that we're dealing with. Also, their directions must be similar. If one is interested in pursuing one type of direction and the other is interested in pursuing a totally different type of direction, so again, instead of uniting two people into one, they remain two. And it becomes a split. And again, you have this problem. And for this reason also, it's preferable, doesn't mean it always has to be, but it's preferable that the two should have many common elements in their backgrounds. There are many wise people. I once heard this over in the name, I believe it was the Slobodka Rosh Yeshiva, that would advise that in looking for a shidduch, try to find someone as similar as you are in your background, who was brought up in a similar type of environment, with a similar type of value system, similar, grew up in similar societies. Why? Because the emes, the truth is that ish vi isha, man and woman, are not alike. They are totally different. To bring them into one, It's a great miracle. That's what the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechta the Saita, Kosher Zivugin Shalodim Kikriyas Yamsuf. That it's as difficult as the splitting of the Red Sea. The Maral there explains that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the Red Sea, he took a mass of water, which is one. Through gravity, water is forced together into one unit, and he divided it into two. And Zivugin Shalodim, a union between a man and a woman, is just the opposite, where he takes two entities and makes them into one. And this is why it's Kosher Kikriyas Yamsuf, it's as great as that miracle. So this Rosh Yeshiva said, there's no mitzvah to add to the miracle. If you look for someone who's similar to yourself. If we do anything, we should try to minimize the miracle, not to add where a greater miracle is necessary, that you take two people that come from totally different cultures and totally different environments and try to make one out of them, see, then you're asking for even greater miracles. So therefore, from here we learn that if there's going to be merely a physical union or a union at a particular level, but not at all levels, it's not going to work, and the end it will be a shnua. Here also we can learn, it's common in our times, here and in America and other places, unfortunately, tragically, where you have so many people today who consider marrying out of the faith. Now, aside from the fact that this is forbidden from the Torah, and aside from the fact of the tremendous consequences and ramifications, but they should know that it won't work. They always talk that there's so much love, and the love will overcome all of the problems. And in my personal experience, which with dealing with people like this, it never works. And it won't because of this reason. Because there cannot be this compatibility, there cannot be this dveikus, there cannot be this union between two people who are totally different values, totally different directions, and therefore it will come to churban, it will come to destruction. So that's a principle we see from here. Now, this is why she will become snua, a hated one. Then the Torah goes a step further. Says from here, Seifa lehailid ben Seiru Meiru. From this union you will give birth to a rebellious son, to the son that will go off the path. Why? What does this have to do with it? We understand why she will become hated. But what does this have to do with the children? Here we see a second principle. Ruination of children. Do not start with children. Ruination of children starts with the marriage. Starts with the parents. And this is what the Torah is clearly telling us here. If you will take this, Yifas Toar, she will safer be snua, she will become hated, and from here you will give birth to a ben seder meira. So when we have to analyze the delinquent, the juvenile delinquent, the problem does not start there. The problem already started long before. And that's why first the Torah tells us of this parsha, the ben seder meira is the third subject dealt with here, not the first. Why is this? Why do we say that the problems of the children began with the parents or began with the marriage? The reason for this is, as the Torah tells us in Parshas Bereishis, Beis Chav Dalet. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Almighty created Chava, he created the first woman, Eve, and he brought her to man
and man was elated, that now I have found my mate. Torah tells us, Al kein yaziv ish es ovi vis imay, therefore a man should forsake his father and his mother, v'dovak v'ishtay, and he should cleave to his wife. V'hoyu levoser echod, and they will be of one flesh. What does it mean, they will be of one flesh? Rashi brings to the Gemara, v'lad neitzer al yidei shneihem, v'shom nase besorim echod, that the child, the fetus, is created through both of them, and through him they become one flesh. What does it mean? V'dovak v'ishtoi v'hoyu l'boser echod, that you shall cleave to your wife and you will be one flesh. Through the birth of the child, you will be one flesh, because the child is created by both. Now, this is a physical reality. Physically, the child carries the genes of the mother and the father, so the child is created through both, and therefore the child is the physical manifestation and the physical expression of both of them being united. But it goes one step further. Since the child is the physical manifestation and expression of the combination of both of them, so in accordance to the combination of both of them, accordingly will be the building, the creation of the child. If there's a good combination between them, if there's a good unity between them, then there'll be an excellent boser echod, one flesh in the child. What happens if there's a weak unity in them, to the point where it's fragmented? Then the child also, which is the expression of this, will also be fragmented. And he will not be kibosir echod, like one flesh in a strong sense. Because the beginning of the bosir echod starts with the parents, and it finalizes itself by the child. And if this lacks by the parents, then it's going to lack by the children. Therefore, in our case, when he took a wife who was the afastoa, and there was a weak union there to begin with, and it starts to break down, and she becomes a sanua, a hated one, this is going to carry over in the netzirus havlad, in the creation of the child. And therefore the child will not be perfect, he will not be sholem, he will not be complete, but he will be a pogum, he will be incomplete, he'll have many imperfections in him. And this we find in the Gemara. The Gemara brings in the Dorim, Daf Chof, and the Rambam brings it in Perek Chof Aleph of Ishus, Halacha Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. Excuse me, it's Perek Chof Aleph of Perek Chof Aleph of Yisuri Bia. Halacha Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. The Gemara tells us that when a person is physically together with his wife, there must be a perfection of unity between them. If not, then he's not allowed to be together with his wife. And if he does, then it's going to carry over into the child. And the Chazal cites various examples. For example, a person is not allowed to be physically with his wife, liber machashav b'isha acheres, and he's thinking about a different woman. or if he's a shikur. If he, one of them are drunk, they're not allowed to be together. Because how can there be an intellectual or a spiritual union if they're drunk to the point where they don't even realize what's happening? Or me take Meriva, or if there's quarrel between them. Or me take Sino, or if there's hatred between them. Or if he forces her, she's not willing, and he forces her, and she's fearful of him. Or if he's decided that he does not want his wife anymore and he's going to divorce her, but he has not yet divorced her. Vimoso came. And what happens if physically he's together with his wife in such a situation? And now there cannot be a complete compatibility, there cannot be a union at all levels. What will be? Habonim einam hegeinim. The children that are born from such a union will not be perfect. Elamein azeponim. Some of them can be azeponim, azeponim that's with chutzpah, audacity. Umehen mordim. Some will be rebellious, upeishim, or they will be balei avera. People that transgress mitzvahs or transgress derech eretz. Or for example, another example is brought that if a man has two wives and he's with one, but he thinks she's the other. This, all of this carries over into the children. Kol elu habonim ha'yeludim mehem hem ha'modim ba'apeshim. Children that are born from such unions will be modim, rebellious sons. They'll be patient, they'll be transgressors. She Surya Golus Bairinesar. The Rambam says eventually the Surya Golus, when they're challenged to hardship, for example, in the Golus in exile, Bairinesar, others are Gaidis Todimesar, it will clarify, it will divide them from others. They will not be able to stand up against trial and tribulation. But eventually they will go away. They will go away from Torah, they will go away from Yiddishkeit. Now this is what we're speaking about. Here, the union was not proper. Sefer Lehelid ben Seder Meire. Therefore you'll have a child that becomes a rebellious son. One that turns off the path. One that does not listen to the parents. This is very important. From the other aspect, now we can learn what would happen if the union is complete in totality. There's a strong union between a man and a wife at all levels. So from here we could deduce that this also would go into the children. That the Boser Echo, the one flesh, that the child becomes as the expression of the parents, will be complete and strong. And you give birth to someone of great levels. This is true. This is also the Gemara. The Gemara brings this also in the Dorim. It states, the Gemara says, that when Yaakov returned from the fields, and it brings the episode, that's in this week's Parsha. Parsha Vayetze. And it brings the episode that Leah's son Reuven had found this particular plant and she gave it to Rochel, but she said on the condition that Yaakov would come to her this evening. Vateitze Dino, and Vateitze Leah, and Leah went out to meet Yaakov, and she said, Eli Tovei, that tonight you should come to me And there was a tremendous motivation from Leah to Yaakov. And this was not chalila like by the Ephaster. This was a tremendous motivation at all levels. Who was born from this union? Yisachar. Yisachar later on became the emblem of Torah. Because Yisachar and his children, from him came hundreds of Roshei Sanhedrios. Moreover, brings 200 heads of Sanhedrins came from Yisachar. And when it came to the most difficult halachas of the Torah, they had to bring them to Yisachar and his children. Only Yisachar and his children could pask and could judge these halachas. And therefore they were called Yedei Bino. They had the deep understanding of the Torah. But the Gemara brings, in the Dorim and the Chof Amud Beis, the Gemara says that in the beginning of Parshas Devarim, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Moshe said, Hovu lechem anoshim chachomim unveinim. When it came time to appoint judges, so I asked for anoshim chachomim, wise people, unvonim, and people with great depth of understanding. When he actually took the judges, it states he only took Rosh Shivtechem, does not say Nevonim. He did not find the Nevonim, those with the great wisdom. By Yisachar, it states Yedei Bina Le'itim. So the Gemara says that when there is a complete union between a man and a wife, Havyin Le'bonim Sha'afila B'deri Shel Meshe Rabbeinu Lo Hayu K'meisam, their children will be so great that even in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu you won't have. He couldn't find Nevonim, he couldn't find those with a deep understanding of the Torah, and we see from Yisachar had such a deep understanding of the Torah, and the Gemara says why? Because of the great love that Leah had for Yaakov. So from here we see that the converse also is true. And this is what the Torah tells us, Al kein yaziv ishes ovi v'imai, v'dovak v'ishtoi. A person should forsake his mother and father, his father and mother, v'dovak v'ishtoi, and cleave to his wife. V'hoi lebosre echot, and there will be one flesh. In accordance to the degree of the dovak, of the cleaving, that will be the degree of bosre echot, of one flesh. So therefore, if it's in the case of the yifas to'ar, so from here you'll get bonim peshim omodim, you'll get children who are b'nei seder meirah. If it's in a case like Yaakov v'Leo, then you'll get boser echod like Yisachar. So this is explains to us one reason why sefer lahelid ben seder meirah, that from here will come a ben seder meirah. There's a second reason also, and that is, the first reason is in regarding the birth of the son. Now, this son is going to grow up. And in which home is he going to grow up? In the home of this man and wife that hate each other. And that the union is very, very bad. If he grows up where there's an atmosphere of shalom, of peace, and an atmosphere of ava, of love, and ichud, a united atmosphere, so he will grow accordingly. You plant a tree, so the tree grows in accordance to the soil in which it's cultivated. But this son is growing up in an atmosphere of hatred, in an atmosphere of disunity. So now this will add further why he becomes this Ben Seder Meire. From this, what do we see now? From these two points, we see that when it comes to chinuch habonim, educating children, you must discipline children, you must direct them, you must instruct them, you must educate them. This is all true, but it doesn't begin there.
That's already an advanced stage. That's not the beginning. That's not the beginning of Chinuch Habonim. Chinuch Habonim already begins with the parents when they first get married. When they first get married, then they're laying the cornerstone of the children. And how they act towards one another, and what kind of union they have, and what kind of atmosphere they create in the home, that will all affect the growing of the child. Only after that, then we come to the stage of the Chinuch Habonim, of to instruct the child and to teach the child. But first they must start instructing themselves. First they must start teaching themselves. First they must start perfecting themselves and perfecting their marriage and perfecting their home. This is the Reishis HaChinuch. This is the beginning of the Chinuch in the eyes of the Torah. And therefore, when you have many, many cases where you have people who have marriages that are full of Riv and Machlekes, full of quarrels, and homes which are not united at all, and they still put a lot of effort into the children, and they wonder why the children are not developing properly, the answer to their wonders are written here in the Torah. Now we come to another point. States in this case of the Ben Seiru Meire, they bring him to the courts, to the elders. The Omru Azik the Ira, and they say to the elders, Benenu Ze Seire Umeire. Our son is a Ben Seiru Meire. Enenu Shemeh Bekeleinu. He doesn't listen to our voice. It's emphasized here that he does not listen to their voice. Twice, Kielish Ben Seiru Meire, Enenu Shemeh Bekolavi Bekoleinu. Doesn't listen to the voice of the father, the voice of the mother. And they discipline him, and he doesn't listen to them. And then again, third time, he doesn't listen to our voice. But we said we're speaking here about a delinquent, we're speaking here about a glutton, a drunkard, a gangster. So what's it got to do with listening to the voice of the parents? Listening or not listening? Yeah? We're dealing here with a criminal. So here the Torah is teaching us something else. It's teaching us an akuda niflo, a very, very important point. The key to this now is the fact that there is no kesher, there is no link between the child and the parents and the parents and the child. The parents talk and the child won't listen. The link has been broken. Why is it so important that the child should listen to the voice of the father and the voice of the mother? Why is it so important? The importance is because the whole Shalshelis Hadeiros, the whole chain of education, of instruction, of communication, of tradition, from the beginning of time to this child, comes through the parents, through the voice of the parents. A person is born into this world. What does he know? He knows nothing. It's like you take a piece of wood and throw it into the ocean. It's caught by every wave, and it's tossed from one end to the other. This is a child, a person that's born into the world. So how does he know Haderech Yelchubo? Which way to go? This world is such a confused world, it's such a vast world. The way he knows is through the Kol Ovi V'Kol Imre. The voice of the mother, the voice of the father, the voice of the mother. They communicate to him
everything that they learned from their father and mother, which was communicated to them, what they learned from their father and their mother, what Adam HaRishon taught his children, what Noach taught the nations, what Avraham taught his children, Shomar es mitzvahs Avraham, or what Moshe was Mekabel and Sinai and gave down to generation after generation. How does a child know how to walk and how to sit and how to dress and how to brush his teeth and how to keep himself clean? How does he know their heritage? Because of what his parents will tell him. If he's an Einishemeh Mikolovivima, if he doesn't listen to his father and mother, then he's not going to know anything. Not going to know their heritage. He's not going to know how to stand and how to walk and how to take care of himself. How does he know what's right and how does he know what's wrong? What is communicated to him through his parents, the responsibility of communication to the son of Derech HaChayim, of the way of life. This responsibility is placed on the parents to teach the son. And this is why a Rebbe is called Ovi, is called the father, and a Talmidim Kruyim Bonim. And the Talmidim are called children because he's communicating to them the way of life. So when it comes to listening to the voice of a father or mother, it's not a question here of their heritage, respect. It's not a question of merely discipline. Right? It's a question we're speaking here of the soul link which binds all of the generations together from the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and from the time Avraham realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the creator, or from the time that Moshe brought the Torah to Klal Yisrael. And if that is broken, then this whole Mesedus, this whole Shalsheles, this whole communication is broken. And it would be like a piece of wood sailing in the sea without any guidance, a ship without a rudder in the ocean. Now, there is a natural devekus, there is a natural oneness between the parents and the child, and the child and the parents. And this starts with what we said before, the Bosar Echod. The expression of the oneness of the parents carries over into the child. And through them, they all become Bosar Echod, they're all one flesh. The man, the father, the mother, the child, all become like one flesh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed a nature in a son where he wants to be one with the parents, and he wants to emulate the parents. He wants to do like they do, and he wants to hear what they say. This was the nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed in the son. And therefore he gave the parents this power to communicate all of this historical direction to the son. What happens though if by the parents the union was never there, and therefore in the son it never developed? So not only is the ben a pogum, not only will he be imperfect, but the link between the son and the parents also will be imperfect. There'll be a deterioration there. If there's a deterioration there, then all is lost. And this is why the Torah emphasizes, he's an Einish Shemeya b'kol Ovi b'kol Imai. He will not listen to the voice of his parents, and therefore safer the eventualities can be anything. He will go wild in any direction. Achim alastim asabriyas, that eventually he'll become a murderer. From here we learn the tremendous importance, the enormous importance of how the parents must preserve the link between the son and themselves. If not, you have what's called a generation gap, what we witness in the 20th century, where the generations go wild, totally divorced from any direction
from any derech eretz of the past, and to become an Eino Shemea. So here the Torah is pinpointing that this link must be guarded. And again, it starts with the parents, that their union has to be complete. And then that union goes into the creation of the son. And then they're all unified. And they must preserve that to the point where he is close and wants to emulate them. And then by nature, he's a Shemaya. If he's a Shemaya, if he listens, then they can instruct, then they can discipline. But to the contrary, if that's not the case, like in our case, where it was a Yafas Torah from the beginning, it was not right, so then it won't help. It states in Neini Shomea, it states Mi Yisra Yisai. They try to instruct him, they try to discipline him, V'leyishba Aleihem, but he won't listen. Why should he listen? There's no kesher, there's no link between he and them. So here the Torah is warning us how one must guard this kesher, this link, where through this he's a Shemea Lo'ovi V'imoi. Through this you have the channel in which they can give all of the instruction of Torah and Derech Eretz, which was given to them through the same link in the previous generations. Now, according to what we just learned, so the Mahalach HaDvorim, the pattern is as follows. Firstly, a person, when he marries, he must look for a mate that the union should be perfect or as near perfect as possible. And this is something which he constantly has to work on. That there should not be any hatred or disunity or so forth. Secondly, through this will go into the creation of the son, and the son will be created with a strong and perfect foundation. Thirdly, then he will grow in the atmosphere of love and shalom and peace. Fourthly, then they will all be unified to the point where he will take instruction from his parents. He will be a Shemaya. And through this they will give and be able to give him tradition and instruction. On the contrary though, if it's not like that, if the beginning of the marriage is not unified, then the creation of the son will be a pogrom. He'll be imperfect. And then he will grow in a house, in an atmosphere with his hatred. And then you will not have this one flesh that will encompass all of them. And he will not want to emulate the parents. And therefore he will not listen to them. And from here will become a beetle hamaseres, hashasheles ayuchsin, where the entire tradition that binds all of the generations together will be shattered. And from here will come Chet Mishpat Moves, the next parsha where he becomes a murderer and he has to be put to death. And unfortunately, this is a picture of our generation. Though you have the link is broken, there's quarrel in the house, there's quarrel amongst the parents, there's quarrel with the children. The children are reared without any traditional direction of the world, and they create new directions, and they end up to be b'nei seira u'meira, the seifa malastim asabrias. In the end, they end up to become criminals or other great social problems, and society is hit with this. The Vilna Gaon was once going to Eretz Yisrael. He didn't go. He started, but he returned for some reason. Never made it. When he left a letter over for his wife. He was going to go and then bring his family over, of how he wanted his home conducted. Now, the Vilna Gaon, there was very few people in the last few hundred years, or even in the last 500 years, that came to levels of Torah that the Vilna Gaon came to, where he studied over 20 hours a day. What do you think he instructed? If you look at that letter, you see that consistently, he's Mechiach v'chezer Mechiach. He keeps instructing and pleading that there should be shalom in the house, there should be peace in the house, there should be ava in the house, love in the house. There shouldn't be quarrel with the relatives that are living in the house, or with the children. Teach the children how to live peacefully with each other. That they shouldn't become angry. That they shouldn't curse. That they shouldn't hate. That they shouldn't say lies. That they shouldn't speak Lashon Hara. They shouldn't be machlekes. And even when you teach them, he said, when you teach them, it must be benachas, with joy, ubi yishuv, and with pleasantness and relaxation, she'ena teira nigne lemitech yishuv, because teira only is acquired in this manner. He says, not through strife. He says, if they refuse to learn, don't hit them. He says, give them things. Give them some money, give them something else. And he says, to the contrary. He says, when they say Lashon Hara, they cause machlekes, when they say lies, when they say curses, then you must beat them. He says, then do not be merachim on them. He says, do not be merachim, do not have compassion on them, because that's cruel to them. Then you must hit them and beat them, in order that they shall learn to live peacefully and live well with each other. This is, he keeps emphasizing this and keeps emphasizing this. And this was the Gaon who came to such levels of Torah. Now, also in this Parsha Kitzeitse, there are another few relative subjects dealt with a little later on in the Parsha, which are very relative, so we must make mention of them. A little further, Torah tells us about the Aveda, the transgression of adultery. It gives various cases. And about Mamzer, that if a son is born from an adulterous union, so the son is called a Mamzer. Now here also is the same. You have here a man who was attracted to another man's wife. What was the attraction? The attraction was not a Devekas Gemura, it was not a complete unity. It was basically a physical attraction, or some other single motivation that drove the two together. Now, a unity between themselves there can never be, because they belong to others. They unify to others. Therefore, contrary to modern thought, what they indulge in is ruination at its worst, because their union is a union which can never be a proper union, and therefore their son is worse than a ben seder meirah. Their son is a mamzer. What does the word mamzer mean? So the Rishonim bring mum zor, a strange imperfection. It was a strange union. And therefore the son is created with a strange blemish, a strange imperfection, an imperfection of strangeness, which you'll never overcome. So contrary to modern thought that this is something which is might have attributes, the Torah tells us not like that. Don't be misled. So they ruin themselves and they ruin their children. Then they ruin their own homes, because she's not allowed to return to her husband now, because this has destroyed now the unity between her and her husband. another man trespasses. So this is a total destruction to their unity. It's incurable. So she's destroyed her home now. And he hears also, because the Gemara says in Masechet Seita that if a man finds that his wife is indulging in other unions, so the Gemara says that's because he is Mizani Macheri. That's because he's unloyal. So he being disloyal now will destroy his own home. So we have two people and children and their homes destroyed. This is the parasha of Eishes Ish. And what will come from here? Now the Yetzer Hara, the Gemara calls him a Melech Ksil, a Melech Zokeh Uksil. He's a king, an old king. Why is he called an old king? Because he's older than the Yetzer Tov, the Chazal tell us. Because the Yetzer Tov, the good drive in the person, only comes to him when he's bar mitzvah, when he's 13. But the Yetzer Hara comes into the person as soon as he's born. The evil drive. So he's a Melech Zokin. He's old and he has one up on the other. But he's a fool. He's not. He's clever. He's very clever. Now he drives people to this, telling them that this is something that is very, very good, very romantic. It's very fine. What will come from this? Will come from this the ruinations that we said? Will come from this children that will not listen? Will come from this children that become rebellious, impatient, and transgressors, and azeponim, and mechutzovim? Will come from this children that will be safe in malastim as abrias, that will grow up to be criminals? Will come from this broken homes? We don't have to look far. This is society today. Society is full of this. And this is what the Torah is telling us. Then we have another parsha in this parsha of Kisetse. Gerushin. States that if a person is married and the woman is not suitable, he wants to give a get, a divorce. Now Gerushin, divorce, is something which the Torah has sanctioned for us. The Torah has given us this manner of severing a marriage, and at times it's something which is very good and very admirable, because there are times when, for justifiable reasons, the zivug, the match, is not good and it should be ended. But gerushin, divorce, was always something that was very rare by Jews. It was used very sparingly and only in the most justified reasons. The Gemara brings it in a Masechta Gittin. Then when a person is megarish eshish nu'urav, when he gives a get to his first wife, afilo amezbeach meiri dimais, even the altar of the Beis Hamikdash sheds tears. Why? Because a marriage is the building of a home. And not only is it the building of a home, it's the building of a spiritual home. Because man and woman basically are different. And when they come together to be one, that's only with the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Chazal tell us that he put his name, one letter of his name, the Yud, and the other letter of his name, the Hey, into the man and woman, Ish V'Isham, brings them together. So it's a spiritual home. And therefore, it's linked to the Beis Hamikdash that is the source of spiritual homes. And therefore, when there's a get which destroys the spiritual home, afam isbeach meri dimais, so the altar in the Beis Hamikdash also sheds tears. So therefore, this was something that was used only in the most extraordinary circumstances. Today, amongst the great social ills that we live in, it's something which is advocated at the drop of a hat. There's still times when it's necessary, there's still justified times. But in accordance to the volume of divorces which are taking place throughout the world and in the Jewish world, it's become something which is not looked at in its proper aspect. And again, this creates churban. A person must realize that a divorce is destroying the home. Shafa mizbeach merid dimais, that the altar sheds tears also on it. And if it's destroying the home, it destroys the children. And again, we have from here broken homes and broken children. And this is prevalent in our society. What are some of the precautions, the safeguards that we can take in order to maintain the values and the structure of the homes the way the Torah wants us to maintain it? There are several that we can mention. Firstly, several dealing with various aspects. Firstly, a person must realize he must know himself. And he must realize human nature. And one of the greatest causes of breakdowns of the homes, not the only cause, but one of the great causes, is because of the permissiveness and the promiscuity that we live amongst today. And this is promoted, and this is advocated, which we'll speak about in a minute. But this is the generation. This is Western culture. The fact is that the age has been classified as the permissive age. And this creeps in and it destroys homes. And a person must know himself. The Gemara brings, and the Rambam brings this at the end of Hilchas Isuri Biyah. The Rambam says, "Ein lecho dove b'chol ha'teira kula, shu kosher l'reiv am lifresh ele min ha'arayis b'abiyas ha'asuris." There is nothing in the entire Torah which is so difficult for the masses of the nation to abstain from as forbidden unions. Omru chachomim b'sho shenitztavu Yisrael ha'arayis b'ocho v'kiblu mitfrizu v'tarumes v'chia. Shedem arbeichel mishpecheisav al iskei mishpocheis. Sages tell us that when the laws came from Sinai and were given to us, all of the sanctity of marriages and all of the laws which forbid us with many, many unions, and many, many unions even more than the great number of many unions that even the non-Jews were forbidden on. So Bochu, they wept. They weren't used to these. They didn't live according to this Klal Yisrael before Torah was given, and they wept. It was so difficult. When it comes to theft of money and when it comes to forbidden unions, there's a tremendous desire that a person has for this. And you will never find a community in any generation that you will not have the problem with some of the community where they do not guard these halachos. The fichoch, therefore, a person must know, a person must realize that the nature of man when it comes to this area is very weak. He shouldn't say, "I don't have to worry about it. It won't affect me." They used to talk about that. Now they don't anymore. But they talked about it 30 years ago, 40 years ago. If you go back to 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, see, even the non-Jews lived with 100 times more decency than they're living today. It was common that you would have schools for boys or schools for girls. Well, it was common that if you have the mixed school, there was a playground, one playground for boys and one playground for girls. Or in many of the schools you had an entrance which said boys and another entrance that said girls. Right? And so on and so on. And usually if a young girl or young lady went out on a date, 50, 100 years ago it was with a chaperone, it was never private. Even the non-Jews lived with 100 times more decency than they are today. It was accepted because they realized what human nature was. But then came along the great Chachomim, and they said, nah, this is nonsense, nonsense, what's the matter? Let them play together, let them this and that. And from there it went on to mixed dormitories, what's the matter with mixed dormitories? And then from there it went on to what's the matter if they have a few partners, and so on, till you have a situation like today. The Torah tells us not so. A person must know himself. And Torah tells us you're playing with fire, with everyone. Therefore, a person should work very hard to bring sanctification into his life. And with a pure thoughts and with good das, with good understanding, in order to safeguard himself from this. The Rambam says the greatest danger to bring people into these pitfalls is yichud, when a man is secluded in a secluded place with a woman. This is the greatest danger, and therefore you must be very careful of this. This is something not to take lightly. I personally know many, many cases of people's homes ruined because of a yichud, because of a secretary, or other such things. It's no joking matter. Movies make a joke out of it. But when you talk to the sociologists and the psychiatrists, or you visit Sturkenteen or other such places, you see it's no joking matter. You see the results and the shambles and the ashes that have come from this. Even the sages used to tell their disciples, purposely they would say, Izaru bi mibnei biti, Izaru bi mibnei kalosi. They used to say, I'm going to be in this room with my daughter, I want you to stay in the room also. I'm going to be in this room with my daughter-in-law, I want you to stay here also. Not that it was forbidden. But to teach their Talmidim, to teach their disciples how far one must remove himself from these temptations, because how great the temptation is. The same thing, a person must be very careful when it comes to folly, when it comes to drinking, when it comes to all of these such things, because this is what brings a person into such a pitfall, and it can ruin his life, it can ruin his home, it can ruin his children. Then the Rambam brings Gedalim, he calls those on the positive side, greater than all of this, Omru Yefana Atzme Machshavte L'Divrei Torah. That a person should put his mind into Torah. V'yachiv Daita V'chochma Shein Machsheva Sarayis Mizgaberes El Beleiponim Min HaChochma. If a mind is empty from wisdom of Torah, then the Yetzirah has a hold on a person. Therefore he should fill his mind and fill his heart with the wisdom of Torah. And this would be the greatest safeguard. So this is one safeguard when it comes to protecting a home. Another safeguard is, besides the person that has to understand his own human nature, Like we see, even the sages understood this in themselves. You must understand that what we see before us in this generation or in other such generations, you must learn how to see through it. Because we live in a generation when all of this is marketed. Promiscuity, cheap romance, adultery, incense, deviations from the norm. Today it's gone to Maisei Anshei Sodom, homosexuality and so forth. All of this is marketed. We live in such a generation. You must realize that there are two motives why it's marketed. One of the great motivations is purely for profit. And the people are becoming suckers to those who are pocketing what is one of the most lucrative industries in the world. They buy magazines, and they buy books, they buy newspapers, they buy TVs, they pay for movies, and they pay for videos. They go to casinos, they go to various holiday spots. All of this is being promoted by one of the world's greatest industries. This is Hollywood, and this is Madison Avenue, and this is mafia, this is casinos, and this prostitution, and there's drugs involved in this, and there's alcohol involved in this. And this is all for one reason: profit. The whole push to this gigantic industry that the people of this century are swallowing and paying money for is to line the pockets of various individuals who are willing to make their money at anything. Recently there was an article in the newspaper that because of our government refusing to recognize social reforms and so forth, so one of the major movie industries of Hollywood has threatened sanctions that they will not send their movies here until the theaters are desegregated. It's one of the best pieces of news that the newspaper has printed here in years. And a person must realize that. Because they try to paint a nice rosy picture. You want to see the real picture, go to Taro, you'll see the real picture. You go behind the front door and talk to your doctors and talk to your sociologists. They've been behind the front doors. And you'll see the tremendous sums of money that move back and forth on this. You'll see how thick it is with mafia, the drug traffic, the abortions, the divorces, the murders, the broken homes, children that are wandering aimlessly, the wife beatings, the child beatings, the rapes, and so on and so on. This is all the fruits of this industry that we pay for. And the disease. And now the world is becoming somewhat concerned because plagues of diseases of AIDS and other such diseases are sweeping through. The deaths. People who are involved in this, this is a Mahdi Sarabi. These are people who mislead the public. Rashi brings also in this parsha that when it came to Ammon and Moab, they were given a greater punishment than even Egypt. He says, even though Egypt killed your firstborn, killed your children, your firstborn or your children, he says, because they try to lead you off the path. And a machtia saravim, someone who causes another person to sin, is worse than the murderer, because a murderer only kills him in this world, while the other kills him in the next world. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Tshuva, he brings it a Chof Dalet Vorim, 24 averes which prevent a person from doing tshuva, from doing repentance. And the first ones he brings, Arba Mehen Oven Godel, the first four are so serious that a Eise Echad Mehen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu must be Gyor Lasei Tshuva, that anyone who does one of them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not allow him to do tshuva if he gadol chetoi, because of the greatness of the sin. And what are they? Hamachti Asarabi, someone who causes others to sin. Hamates Chaveri Derech Teva Lero, or someone who causes his friend to go off a good path. Harei b'nei yetzer tarbis rovei namamach v'yodei. A person sees his son go off a good path and he doesn't try to stop it. So therefore, another safeguard is that we have to see realistically what's happening. And one is obligated with all his strength to do everything. Firstly, not to aid. You should know that if you pay for such a movie, you become a supporter of the industry. If you pay for such a video, you're supporting the industry. There's no doubt about it. This is what they want. This is what they're living on. They're in there for the money. They're selling it. They're a business. We become advocates. We become supporters. And it's brought that Chalila, a person should become a supporter. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch. We don't have time to go into it. Nor Chaim Hilchos Shabbos Siman Shin Zayin. Sif Tes Zayin. A person is obligated with all of his strength to try to stop this, at least in his own home, at least with his own children, in his community. Jews should be in the forefront of the community. They should petition government. Should petition government to put the curbs on all of this. So that's the second safeguard, to realize the underlying motives of this. And then one final safeguard, and that's also to realize the underlying motives. There's another motive also, besides those who are in it for profit. There are those who are in it because they want reform, they want to be liberals. As I mentioned, this is known as the permissive age. They want to permit what was forbidden before. The world went for generations where there were accepted laws in order of what is forbidden and what is permitted. Even though not the entire world conformed to this, there were always those that broke laws, but the law still remained a law. Today we have a group, a cult or a group, that have been working at changing these laws, right, to delegalize the entire system. What was forbidden before should become permitted now. And this is the liberal movement. For example, they permitted mixed campuses, mixed dormitories, premarital relationships. You have many teachers on the campus, many academics, many liberals, many professors that advocated extramarital relationships. They advocate adultery. All types of promiscuity, nudity, semi-nudity, this all becomes advocated. And it goes from one step on, one step further, 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 to the point now where they're advocating homosexuality. What was forbidden, it's not forbidden anymore. It's been legalized. In many places it's no longer a crime. To give you an idea how far it's gone, is in the United States, there are many communities, gay communities, that are fighting for their legal rights. And what used to be a crime, the Supreme Court has ruled is no longer a crime in the United States. It comes to abortions. This is ritzicha, this is murder, this is an offshoot of all of this promiscuity. President Reagan, he vetoed the abortion bill. He wanted it to remain illegal, and the Supreme Court overruled it. They said abortions can be legal. So it's in the process of being legalized, not in the process where it was wrong except people secretly did it, but it's becoming legalized. This, the Gemara tells us, is what took place in Sodom. That it was structured, incorporated into the legal system. It's interesting to note that the Supreme Court, which supported abortions and supported homosexuality, recently ruled that an American Jewish soldier in the Air Force was not allowed to wear his yarmulke. Wanted to wear his yarmulke, and it went to the Supreme Court, and they said he's not allowed to wear. So abortions, murder, yes. Mishkav Zohar, homosexuality, yes. Wearing the yarmulke, no. This is where it leads to. And this is all part of this liberal system. There, amongst this, there are many today that advocate divorce at the drop of a hat. And what do we have from this? We have broken people, broken parents, broken homes, broken children, drug addicts, alcoholics, gangsters, so forth and so on. This is the fruits of this liberal movement. Now one has to recognize this. We become sometimes too intimidated from it. The academic world, the professors, we become intimidated. They try to tell us that our laws are old-fashioned. Well, they've achieved more. Their laws are more old-fashioned. Because what they did exactly existed in Sodom before Abraham. We come from the enlightened. They're coming from before their time. This is what Abraham broke away from. And you have from this all of the development of all of the cults. Now there's something very interesting at the end of this parsha of Kiseitse. It's the parsha of Amalek, where Amalek comes to make war against Klal Yisrael. What was the hate of Amalek? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Amalek one day should be destroyed completely. What was his hate? States for Lo Yor Elokim here and in Parshas Bishalach. V'le'yor elekim, they did not fear Hashem. What does that mean? They rebelled against any discipline and any order in the world. If you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you have to submit to His discipline. You have to bow to His order. That was Avraham. Avraham recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They refused to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though they heard of the great miracles of the splitting of the sea, and all the nations feared, Amalek came to make war. So they refused. The nature of Amalek was to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's no order to the world. We find, it states, Asher Korcho Baderech, that they came, the word Korcho is they happened to come on the way. The Gemara Darshans, first Asher Korcho, Loshen Keri, that they indulged in homosexuality. This is what the Gemara expounds in Amalek. Now why? It's explained that a person doesn't have great desire for homosexuality. It's lahasuni, it's lahachish. The main desire that he has is because he desires to rebel against the nature which the Almighty instilled in the world. If someone believes that there was a creator and there was a plan and there was an order, so he has respect He has respect for human nature. He has respect for the nature and the order of the world. But if someone is bent on rejecting this plan in this order, then he wants to be mahapich. He wants to take what's on right and put it on the left, and what's on the left and put it on the right, and what's up put down, and down and up. This we find in our generation. People say, so what if there was the institution of marriage for 1,000 years? Who says it's right? We say it's wrong. We're academics, we have greater intelligence. Then, it's brought in Amalek. Korcho comes from the word korchem, cold and hot. That they cooled off what was hot before. I give an example that if it's a very hot pool of water and nobody will jump into it, if someone is a mechutzav, goes and jumps into it, even though he gets burnt, he cools it off and other people now will follow because someone's done it already. Not only did they do this for themselves, they cooled it off for the world. No one ever would fight against Klal Yisrael after the miracles of Egypt. But once they did it, others followed. Once they caused a crack in the wall, then others followed. And this was Amalek. And then thirdly, it states by Amalek, Korcho's Mikra. This means in an incidental manner. Anything they did, they consider an incidental manner. They do not consider that it's guided by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We hold the world is guided by the master of the world. No. They don't believe in the master of the world. This was the nature of Amalek. And therefore it states also that they indulged in kishuf, in sorcery. Because sorcery is machish pamalyush shel malo. Sorcery goes against the order of the Almighty. So this was Amalek. Now what is this? This is the Einish Shemei and the Kolovi Vimei. The one who would not listen to their parents because they rejected all tradition. They rejected all chain of history. They rejected all order. This was Amalek. In the Parsha of Amalek, it states, Bochar Lonu. Meisha said to Yeshua, Bochar Lonu, choose for us some men to fight Amalek. So the Gemara says, choose for us. He equated himself with Yeshua. But he was the Rebbe and Yeshua was the disciple. So the Chazal say, Mikan, from here we learn that Hevi Choviv Talmid Chai Kfeir Atzmai. That the honor of your disciples should be as great as your own honor. Now why is that taught right in the Parsha of Amalek? Because that's the opposite of Amalek. Amalek were the ones who rejected totally any chain of order and tradition, any communication with previous generations. We are the sons of Abraham. Abraham is the one who taught that there's a master in the universe and we must submit to him. And history has its tradition that we live by. And this is communicated by father to son and by Rebbe to Talmud. And therefore here, Moshe came and he gave extra honor to Yeshua. He says, Bocha Alonu, choose for us. You are as important as I am. Because through you, through the disciple, the tradition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instilled in the world will be carried on through the generations. Hevi kfei talmidcha, choviv ki kfei atzmecha. So here we have a picture. The second great motivator are those who call themselves liberals, who want to uproot all tradition, who want to uproot the pattern of nature, of human order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instilled in the world. Why? Because they reject HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the world was created by chance, if man is a product of merely evolution, then they're right. So there's no nature, there's no order, there's nothing. So everybody chooses the way he sees best, and each generation chooses for themselves. This is also important for us to see, and important to fight against, and important to keep out of one's home, and out of one's life, and to protect his children and his generations from this. So here we have a picture. We have the picture of the Torah's order, where a person takes a wife, the dovak v'ishtoi, and he cleaves to her, v'oyu l'boser echod, and from here come great children, that are shemeya ba'ovi v'imoi, and they're linked to their ancestors. And from here comes great brocha, great blessing. Not only that, it's a beis hamikdash that they build, with love, and shalom and peace, and where there's no cursing in the home, and there's not lying or lashon hara in the home like the Gaon writes, but there's Torah and there's nachas. Then you have the converse. You have where a person pursues a woman, or vice versa, merely because of a motivation, physical motivation. And there lacks that dovat v'ishtei, there was never that cleaving. And from there they give birth to a son which is like them, lacks in the Boser Echot. And he's a ben pogum, or even worse yet, a mamzer, a mumzor, a strange combination, a strange entity, or a blemished entity. And he is not unified with the parents, so there's no shmias kol aviv imoy, there's no communication. Doesn't listen to the parents. If he doesn't listen to the parents, he's detached from history. He's detached from tradition. And with those who are interested in profit, and they have this gigantic industry, or those who are interested in detaching the world from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from history, so we fall prey to it, and we live in a society, and what comes out from this? Comes out from this, he's a drunkard, and he's a delinquent, and he becomes a gangster. And from alcohol goes to drugs, and you have a society that's filled with prostitution and abortions, and AIDS, and crime, and mafia, until finally the parsha tells us, "V'chiyeh ish chet mishpat moves," that if a man has committed a crime of capital offense, so the Torah must tell us, nebach, how we must put him to death. So these are the two roads. One is a road that goes through this world to the next world, and the other is a dead-end road. And so what's very important is that when we speak about problems with the children, that's the middle of the story. The parsha begins from the parsha of Yefastor. Pasha begins with us ourselves. And from there we can build and construct the type of home which is a home similar to the Beis HaMikdash that we were commanded and we had by tradition. So we should all learn from these very important principles that the Torah teaches us here on this subject which is so prevalent in our times, and we should see, Be'ezus Hashem, good homes in Klal Yisrael, and good children in Klal Yisrael, that are built on the foundations of Achdus, unity, Shalom, and Torah. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.